thing to know the Lord, isn't it? Wonderful thing to know the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brought to us with love and brought to us with such great cost. Our hearts should be thankful. While the children and their leaders go for children's church, I would ask you to come with me again. This wonderful passage we're working our way through, the book of 1 John. We're in chapter 4. And we're moving ahead one verse. Sort of turning the corner. Going to the other side of what we've been looking at and speaking of now for a few weeks. This is the other side of the coin. And John takes us there in this very next verse, which is a synopsis of so many other things, and we're going to seek to use it in that way. Just one sentence. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. To state the obvious, this verse comes to us in two parts. There is the since part at the beginning. Since God so loved us. And then there is the then part at the end. Then, understood, we also ought to love one another. So far, we have spent all our time on the first part. Since God so loved us. And I'm referring to our messages together from verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. To use a farm expression, I hope you understand it, but to use a farm expression, we have tried to chew the cud. Of everything John has been saying in those verses to fill out the truth of this one statement, since God so loved us. Verse 8, that foundation truth of everything else, God is love. I hope you remember the statement we made, for God not to love you would be for God to deny his own nature. And that will never happen. That's an awesome truth. For God not to love you would be for God to deny his own nature. God is love. And then John goes to the next verse to say, it's not just something far off in heaven, but this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And then substantiates it further in verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Oh, I hope you've come away from those verses feeling as I do, that as we have chewed on them, it has tasted so good. It has tasted so good. God so loved us. And you can never quite get enough of it. The more you have, the more you want. The more you have, the more you want. And I can hear John saying, yes, yes, yes. I know exactly what you're feeling. That's exactly been my experience. Only I would add one more thing. Not only the more you have, the more you want, but the more you have, the more you ought to give away. The more you have, the more you ought to give away. For, John says, since God so loved us, we now owe a great debt, and we also ought to love one another. And I say debt because that's the idea of the word ought. Now, this is now the third passage in this book in which John has made this call for love. And in the two previous passages, he bases it on something that no other New Testament writer says. Go back to chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Then go back to chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Now, what in the world is John wanting us to understand? How can this command to love be an old command based on a message we've heard since the beginning, and at the same time, a new command based on a message whose truth is now seen in him? I think we have to take one side at a time. So let's begin with the old command that is based on the message we've heard from the beginning. Those of you who have been around my preaching and teaching for some time will know how much I love one particular Old Testament word. Hope it's coming to your mind. It's that Old Testament Hebrew word, chesed. Chesed. Soon as I say it, I have to think of one man, Dr. John Oswalt, who first introduced me to it back at Asbury Theological Seminary, and through the years has just enriched my soul by filling out more and more of all that word means, so that I'll have to say anything I say to you this morning ultimately comes from him. But above all, chesed is the premier Old Testament word to describe the character of God. He is a God of chesed. Now, it's very interesting. This word chesed has never been found in any other Semitic language except Hebrew. And that's not true of most Hebrew words. Most Hebrew words have counterparts in other ancient Semitic languages, but not this word chesed. And I think it's because this word chesed was unique to the Hebrews, and it was unique to them, above all, because it was unique to God. For that reason, as much as any other, I suppose, this has always been a very difficult word to translate, because it's simply too big for any single English word we might use, or even a series of English words we might use. The King James Version always, or often, translated it mercy, as in the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy, the word really is chesed, shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, mercy is part of that as we understand mercy. But mercy is really too little for everything this word includes. And the same is true of every other word translators have tried to use. You've found them, though you may not have known what the Hebrew word behind it was. You've seen loving kindness in some of your versions. You've seen unfailing love. You've seen steadfast love. They're all pointing back to this word, and they're all there, and they're all good. But none of them ever says quite enough. Let me come at this piecemeal and see if we can at least get something of the big picture. Not going to try to give definitions or even synonyms, but simply to try to mention some components that go into this word. Here's the first component that we could mention. Chesed is that devoted, never let go loyalty towards someone. It's that loyalty where you hang in there no matter what, with patience and perseverance and faithfulness. That devoted, never let go loyalty to someone no matter what. But that's only one component. Chesed is not only that devoted, never let go loyalty to someone, but all of that coming with deep, passionate feelings of love and longing for that person. Because, you know, you can be loyal out of duty. Some of you are loyal to your jobs out of duty. You can be loyal to responsibilities out of duty. You can be loyal to people out of duty. This word is not that. It's that never let go loyalty to someone, but coming from the very depths of your being with feelings of love and longing focused on that person. But even that's not all. Chesed is that devoted, never let go loyalty to someone that comes with deep, passionate feelings of love and longing, but it comes when the relationship is superior to inferior. Not peer to peer, not eyeball to eyeball, not face to face. We're talking about God above all else. And none of us has any understanding of how superior God is or how inferior we are in His presence. But that's part of this word. It's that devoted, never let go loyalty to someone that comes with deep, passionate feelings of love and loyalty and longing all focused on that person when the relationship is superior to inferior. And one more component. Even when all of that is totally undeserved. In fact, when the one receiving chesed deserves the very opposite. Now, let me try to use a very human example, and this is as close as I can come. But it's not perfect by any means, and you'll see that right away. The closest thing I can think of in human terms to everything that's meant by God's chesed is perhaps the relationship of a mother to a baby. We have a representative picture of a few. This is not complete. But we picked out a few of the pictures from the directory and so on of mothers, parents, families that have very, very young babies. But really, I could speak to any of you who have been, are mothers. And if you have been, you are. But I want you to think back, whether it's present or past tense, to when your baby was, oh, maybe 6 months old, 3 months old, 2 months, 3 weeks, very, very young. Now let's go through those components of chesed. The first one. Did you feel, do you feel that devoted, never let go loyalty to your baby, no matter what? Yes, no, maybe. I know it's yes. I know it's yes. Let's go to the second one. Did it come out of duty or did it come out of deep feelings of passionate love and longing? Yes. I'm sure it's true. It wasn't just a duty. Let's go to the third. When the relationship is superior to inferior, now some of you may say, I'm not so sure about that one because I think my baby was just as valuable as I am. Yes, that's true, but think of some other characteristics here. Think about strength. There's no comparison. Think about size. There's no comparison. Think about intelligent ability. There's no comparison. Talents. The development of the senses. Even the developments of the body. In just about every category you can think of, at that time, mother to, say, three-month-old or three-week-old baby, it really is superior to inferior, except in the category of value. And the last component, when it's all undeserved. And again, you might say, well, I'm not so sure about that one, but think about it. What has that baby done to deserve any of that love from you? Nothing.
And once in a while, they do things that are just the opposite. They deserve the opposite. It's not very pleasant. Like when we took Philip and Kara to the airport last Tuesday, and by the time we got onto I-70, Gwen had already blown out her britches. I mean, I'm just going to be blunt with you. Clear up to the belly button. I mean, just... Kara couldn't do a thing but just at the airport throw it all in the wastebasket. Got on the plane, flew to Washington, D.C., went well. Girls did really well until they were about to land. It got real turbulent. Gwen threw up all over everything. All over herself, all over Kara, jeans, her clothes, everything. That's when they deserve the opposite. That's not a perfect example. It falls far, far, far short. But does that begin to give us the idea of what's in this word and what it means? When the Hebrew people talk about the character of God, this is the word they use again and again and again. In Psalm 136, comes at the end of every verse. Do you remember that psalm? He is good, and his chesed endures forever. You just think of those four things. Devoted, never let go, loyalty to you. Coming with deep, passionate feelings of longing and love for you, even when he is so superior and you're so inferior and you deserve the opposite. And yet his chesed for you endures forever. You think about that. So what are the Hebrew people saying when they declare such a thing about God? They're saying that they've met a God like no other. Or really, we should turn that around. There is a God who has come to meet them, and he is like no other. For they have been able to observe what happens among the other peoples and among whom they live. And they have seen that the gods of the other peoples are always looking for what they can get from people. The gods of the other nations are always demanding things from people. And if people don't do what pleases them, they get angry and they get mean and they get vengeful and they get even. But the Hebrew people say, but this God, the Lord, is not like that. In fact, he is the exact opposite of that. We have found that this God is always looking for ways to pour out good things on his people. He's not out grasping and demanding and mean and vengeful. He's looking for ways to pour out good things onto his people. And even when they break his covenant and disappoint his heart, when he has every reason to be angry with them and withdraw from them and even destroy them, he instead continues to be gracious and loving and kind. And why? Why does he keep giving them this passionate, never let go loyalty and love when they deserve the opposite? Why? Because of his chesed. I'd encourage you to think about that as you continue to read your Bible. You don't know how many times when I'm standing over here during worship service and we're singing songs or we're hearing the Word of God read or something, and I know this is the Word, it just blesses me till I can hardly stand myself. And you may not always know if that's the Hebrew word, but if you start seeing words like loving kindness and mercy and steadfast love and unfailing love, there's a very good chance it's this word. And you just think what that's saying, this God has toward you.
a never give up loyalty and devotion to you. And that coming out of deep, passionate feelings of love and longing, all focused on you. And even though he is so superior and you're so inferior and you don't deserve it, in fact, you deserve the opposite. Again and again, his chesed for you endures forever. You just think about that and you'll get blessed out of your socks. And then the Hebrew people say one more thing about this God. Not only has he poured out his chesed on them again and again, but listen, he has also called them to be like him, to act in the same way toward one another. What is that call that comes from the Lord again and again? Begins in the Old Testament, continues through the New Testament. We'll see it tonight, by the way. What is it? Be holy, just as I, the Lord your God, am holy. In other words, since chesed is what I have done for you, then chesed is what I expect you to do to one another. Now, coming back to what John has written, this is surely what was in John's mind when he said these things. He was a Jew through and through. He knew the Old Testament. He was totally Hebrew in his thinking. Surely this is it. I am not writing you a new command, but an old one. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. In other words, John says, love is not some new invention that came in with Christianity. This has been at the heart of God's revelation right from the beginning. He wants to do chesed with us, and he wants us to do chesed with one another. And what does that mean? Do you have all those fixed in your mind? What does he want to see happening among us? One, that devoted, never let go loyalty to one another with patience and perseverance and faithfulness. He wants to see that coming with passionate feelings of love and longing focused on each other. And even when the relationships are not necessarily equal, and even if it's all undeserved, maybe that other person even deserves the opposite. God is looking, are you willing to do chesed with one another? Take a moment and look around. I mean that literally right now. Take a moment, just look around. See faces here. Just look around. These are the folks God wants you to give that to. These are the folks God wants you to give that to. This old command is the message you have heard, John says. But then, in the very next sentence, almost in the next breath, he says, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him. Now, what does John mean by that? This new command based on the truth we've seen in him. What more is there to add? I hope you noticed, as John writes this, he at this point changes the wording. He changes it from hearing to seeing. He changes the wording from hearing to seeing. He's now talking about Jesus, isn't he? Its truth is seen in him. May I quote John Oswald for a moment? I found this so good. John is saying, friends, I have seen chesed in action. I have seen it in the flesh. One day I stood on the barren hilltop and I saw God give us his chesed. Before Calvary, chesed was something of an abstract idea to me. I knew from the ancient writings that I was supposed to give that kind of love to other people, but it was all somewhat abstract. But that afternoon, as I saw God dying for me, I understood chesed in a way I never, ever did before.
friends, we have seen love. We have touched love. We have felt love's arms around our shoulders. Its truth is seen in Him. And what is the implication of a love like that? A love coming directly from the heart of God to us and demonstrated in laying down His life for us. What is the implication of a love like that? John makes clear that we must give it away. That we must share it with one another. For John not only says back in chapter 2, its truth is seen in Him. But if you follow the verse, and I don't know if you caught it when we read it in the beginning, but he goes on to say, its truth is seen in Him, and unbelievably, the next phrase is, and you. Because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Sounds to me like John remembered very well what Jesus said to them in the upper room. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. By what? By our doctrine? No. Oh, doctrine is extremely important, and I would say, at least in my lifetime, never more so than now. We're losing it in the church, dear friends. We're losing it. People are floundering. The truth is on the scaffold and is being sacrificed right and left. It's not our doctrine. Is it our ethics? No. Ethics are at the heart of living a true Christian life. And again, they seem to be going by the board right and left. But it's not our ethics. Is it our moral standards? No. Moral absolutes have been laid down for us in God's word by a God who is absolute. And that's being denied front, right, and center. But it's not morality. Jesus said, by this, will all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Dear friends, no other religion in all the world puts that at the heart of the universe. And no other religion in all the world puts that at the heart of every right relationship here on earth. Worship leaders, would you begin to come back? John has said to us this morning that this command to love is an old commandment. Right from the beginning, God has been clear that those who have received chesed from Him should be like Him and extend that chesed to others. And we're going to see that clearly again tonight in our study in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. I hope you'll come. I encourage you to come. It'll be worth your while, you and all your family. This commandment to love is an old commandment, but that old commandment has now become a new commandment. It's no longer just a word on a scroll. It's no longer an idea. It's now a person. Love has walked the earth in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. We have seen love, and we have touched love, and we have handled love all in Him. And I ask you, what else ought we to do? What else can we do in response but share it with someone else? That's why John says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And I want to say this morning, because I've lived long enough to kind of know folks, There are folks, even in the church, that kind of feel like this loving one another is mostly mush and sweet syrup. It's not. Remember what Jesus said. This is our greatest means of evangelism. That's what he said. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And so what John has said in one sentence comes with such power. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Scott, could I have you to go ahead and put the words up to the first song we're going to sing in closing? I personally don't know of another song that quite captures the truth with the same kind of words as this song, even though it goes back a few years. I am loved, I am loved. Now get the truth of this, because this is so biblical. I can risk loving you because the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved, you are loved. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other. We are loved. Oh, powerful truth. I want us to sing that together, and then following that, go right into I love you with the love of the Lord. And I don't want us to sing words. I want us to think about people. People here starting and mean it with all our souls. God has so loved me. I am in debt that we love one another. Let's sing it together. Would you stand? May it seal the truth to our hearts today.
Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord.
By this, will all men know that you're my disciples. And what kind of love is it? Well, start back there with Hesed. Oh my, how powerful. And that's the way God has loved you. That's the way he's loved me. And now we get to see it all in the face of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you. We're humbled before you. We were catching the vision. We feel like falling on our faces in worship and thanksgiving. We do feel loved this morning, and we're grateful. And I pray that not one heart will leave here this morning feeling left out. Because if they're left out, it's because they've taken themselves out. May it not be so. And oh Lord, what you've so poured into us freely, may we not bottle up, but let it flow right through so that the container gets bigger and the flow gets larger. And by that, the world will say, I want to be in on too. I'm coming. That's my prayer, Lord, for us, to the glory of your name and to the blessing of your people. Through Jesus Christ we pray. And now go with us as we depart and as we go to classes. May it just flow right on and in and through in all of it. And bless your name. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.